To Tina,
there is no alternative.
Or not to Tina,
there is an alternative.
An audio drama by the Botsotso Ensemble.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
We are in Johannesburg. Struggle veteran Zweli Maboja. His depression has reached breaking point. He is visiting a psychologist when Siriti, a stranger from Lesotho, bursts into the consulting room and offers to cure him.
I'm so pleased I overheard you, comrade. It's to be expected that you are sick, but it's not your usual depression. What you're suffering from is capitalism.
Ugh, don't be simple-minded. The man would be sick no matter what system we live in.
No. Don't speak for me, Doc. Huh? Let the lady have her say.
Thank you, my brother. Let me just say that I have...
No. You can't just walk in here and take over. I'm the boss here.
Doctor, that's exactly the problem. We live in a world run by bosses, and bosses mostly don't know what they're doing. I have just come back from Rojava. In that part of northern Syria, people are doing very well phasing out bosses while cooperatives take over.
In the last few years, Kurdish civilians in Syria, including women, have in self-defense taken up arms against Islamic extremists, against the brutal Syrian government, and against invading forces from Turkey. But very few know that in the northeast region named Rojava, these same Kurdish fighters are part of a social revolution, and that this revolution is as liberating and far-reaching as any in history.
Yeah, man, I've been following the story of Rojava. Hey, but it's so difficult to know what's true and what's fake news out there.
Exactly. There's been an ongoing war in Syria for years now. Who can believe anything the different sides say? Each claims to be in the right while the slaughter goes on.
Yes, but at the same time, if you check what each side says against the evidence of bloggers and journalists on the ground, you'll find that the Kurds of Syria are well respected and do not make themselves out to be perfect. I mean, how could they in such conditions?
Yeah, man. Yeah, but despite the difficulties, fighting a butcher like Bashar al-Assad wasn't a bad idea. I mean, after all, it was a part of a whole series of popular uprisings against dictatorships in the Middle East.
No. It wasn't a bad idea, but armed struggle isn't easy when other well-armed countries like
Iran,
Russia,
America,
Israel,
Turkey, and terrorist group like ISIS
get involved and hijack the struggle.
Oh well, what do they expect? Once you start an armed rebellion against a government, you must expect trouble. Much better to rely on mass mobilization and civil disobedience.
Spoken like a true revolutionary. But what happens if the rulers are so brutal that in order to keep power, they are prepared to slaughter civilians, yeah?
And that's exactly what happened. Assad's soldiers and pilots have murdered over 500,000 people. And brutal jihadist forces and Turkey have also caused tens of thousands of deaths.
That's horrible. But as you can see, anyone who thinks getting rid of the central government is a step in the right direction is a dangerous dreamer.
No, hang on, Doc. I mean, do you want to live under a dictatorship where you have no access to justice?
No, I wouldn't. I certainly didn't like living under apartheid. So why would I want to live under a corrupt regime anywhere else?
Okay, that's clear. So your problem is with the means used to challenge the government.
That's right. Fighting violence with violence seldom brings improvement.
Oh, come on. Don't distort. The Kurds aren't guilty of violence. In Rojava, civilians took up arms to defend themselves because no one else would. And the fighters included women for a very simple reason.
In the wider Middle East, the female body is one of the most important battlegrounds between modernizers and reactionaries. Today in Syria, this fight is to the death.
The gangs of ISIS want the woman to be a slave. They don't consider us as human beings, but only as objects to serve men and to satisfy his specific needs. They sell us as if we're animals.
The girl I speak with is 20-year-old Nupelda. She serves on the front line in a mobile company of the Women's Protection Units, YPJ. This is the army of women in autonomous administration of Rojava, which fights side by side with men.
So there you have it. Women are fighting because men have gone mad.
But oppression of women isn't just found in the Middle East.
Definitely not. Here at home, we also have constant violence. And it's not just because of religion.
Yeah, I must admit that we men have a long history of domination. We've treated women badly.
Oh, come on. Most men are not that bad. I know a few who respect equality.
Yeah, like me.
I hope so. But I would first have to check with your partner.
Do you have a partner?
Yes, I do. Nobantu and I have been together for 7 years.
Do you have children?
2 girls.
Oh, lucky you.
And how do you and Nobantu manage things?
Oh, we share the housework and looking after the kids.
A model marriage.
Hi. Actually, we are not married. Eh? We don't believe in all this formal rubbish.
But what if things change and you separate? Or if you die? Have you at least written out a will? There are so many legal issues that will cause problems for the children.
Ish! Yeah, you've raised a good point. I need to organize a will. But otherwise, we'll deal with things as they come, man.
Oh, dear me. That's very short-sighted. But then, nothing matters to you, really. You're depressed and sick of the world.
Yeah, I'm depressed. And believe me, I don't want to live like this.
To tell the truth, I also have my ups and downs.
No. Don't confuse moods with depression. Depression is something much deeper. Life seems a waste of time. Nothing has value or enjoyment. And other people, no matter who they are, seem boring and stupid. Yeah, depression is a serious sickness and it takes lives.
It's the daily bombardment of news about corruption that drags me down, man. I feel terribly angry and frustrated at this waste, man. It dominates my thoughts and then I get angry and emotional.
But comrade, to be angered by corruption is a healthy response. Be very angry. When I read about some of these bastards and the millions they're stealing, I imagine a revolutionary justice. The firing squad.
Hey, don't go overboard. Of course they must be punished if they broke the law. But don't make them out to be monsters. They're just like you and me, except they got tempted and sold themselves. And that's human nature.
Ah, doctor, you are playing with the truth. Thieving politicians are not just the run-of-the-mill guys who are sort of innocently deciding to take advantage of opportunities. They are our leadership, Labantu. They are in special positions of trust. This is too much, man. Their example encourages people to think only of themselves and screw others.
Okay, let's say I agree. We are a rotten and very slack society. We talk ourselves to a standstill and implement very little. In short, Mzansi is on the way down and things will get worse if something is not done fast.
You see? You understand, man. You know exactly what I'm going through. I know there's corruption all over the world, but in our position, we can't afford it.
Say it again, brother.
But don't just look at the government managers and politicians. Look at the big corporate bosses, the financial managers, the lawyers, the doctors, the massive wages and bonuses, the frauds that cause companies to crash.
Yes, there's a list as long as the fire pool at Nkandla.
Steinhoff, Sheshall,
KPMG,
Tongat Hewlett,
Mosasa,
McKinsey,
the construction cartel,
the bread cartel, the cement cartel.
Yes, quite a list. And their argument will be that if you live in a corrupt society, then only a fool doesn't take advantage.
Ish, it makes my blood run cold to think that people really believe that.
And it makes mine boil.
But why do you think we can become better at working together and sharing? The reality shows this is a dream.
Doctor, how can you not be depressed with this kind of thinking, Marae?
To be honest, it does not make me happy. I would prefer to see less violence and poverty. But how can we conquer all our nasty human failings?
Oh, what the religious call our sinful nature, ne?
Well, personally, I wouldn't call it that. But the fact is, all your revolutions for freedom and justice ended badly. Doesn't this show that abuse of power is incurable?
But that's not true. There have been many steps forward, and right now there is an example of a cure, and its name is Rojava.
Oh my goodness! Back to that again?
In 1918, at the end of the First World War, the Ottoman Empire, which had ruled the Middle East and Turkey for over 400 years, collapsed. Most Kurds hoped they would be given their own state by the countries who had won the war. But this did not happen, and they were left divided and weak. Once again, victims of heavy cultural and economic discrimination.
Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria were all controlled by kings or dictators who enforced state or private capitalist rule. But the Kurds kept struggling to be recognized. And this experience of the violence of strong central states made them see how important it is to break down that authority and localize power.
Come on, let's get serious. So you do away with a strong central state, and what do you have? A few village workshops, some small-scale agricultural co-ops, and an army with women combat soldiers. Is that your paradise?
Doctor, you're a serious victim of conditioning.
Yeah, man. You're stuck in a permanent red light when it comes to anything new or hopeful. Small is also beautiful. You don't need skyscrapers or massive shopping malls or superhighways to lead good lives. Especially when they cause so much damage to our nerves and to the environment.
Don't be impractical. We already have billions of people living in massive cities. How are you going to change that? Expel everyone into the countryside like they tried in Cambodia? That led to mass murder.
Slow down, Doc. No one is suggesting emptying out the cities, but because of the effects of global heating, more production will have to be done at a local level. We will also have to carefully select what to produce based on what's available and doesn't further harm the environment.
Yeah, the Rojava Revolution may have come about because of the civil war in Syria, but its deeper roots are in the whole system that's causing my depression.
Oh, Rojava, Rojava. Is that all you can talk about? And our guest, Ms. Siriti, certainly has a way of hijacking medical consultations. Just think of it. Here I am dealing with a sick man, and you have the nerve to barge in and take over. You leftists are so damn arrogant.
Oh, Emma, don't lose your temper, Doc. Huh? You'll have more opportunity to deal with us in the next consultation.
And I suppose in that one, I will accept all your arguments rather than confirm that I'm an idiot.
Hey, Doc, you're stressed out. But to help you calm down, I suggest you do more reading about Rojava. For a start, check out the booklet by Ilring. It's on their website. Bye for now. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'll sell you guys talk. Till next time, happy reading.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
And now we move to the banks of the great Limpopo River. It's a moonless night. A tense Edward Munzori and his daughter Tsitsi are lying down, waiting in the bushes on the Zimbabwean side.
Father, are you sure this is the right thing to do? The river is running strongly. We will be swept away.
No, we won't. We will take it slowly.
No, Father. We'll drown. And who will that help?
Don't worry. I have crossed here before. In any case, we have no choice but to try. Your mother and sister are depending on us.
Exactly. So we must be smart and not act foolishly.
Percent of Zimbabweans do not have formal jobs.
60% of Zimbabweans do not have electricity.
33% do not have access to a flush toilet.
20% do not have access to safe drinking water.
Father, if I die on the way to Johannesburg, will you take my body home?
Quiet, Titi. Don't be so negative. We are going to get across and change our lives. The only weapon we have against our masters is endurance. For now, we must survive their greed and neglect and support ourselves as best as we can.
Yes, there is a new war, a new Chimurenga. Survival. How sad.
What do you mean?
Just look at where you are today and where you hoped to be.
After losing his job at a Bulawayo textile factory, which closed in 2005, Edward Mzori had crossed the border illegally and found casual work in Johannesburg. For 10 years, he had sent groceries and a range of other articles back home. So when he was arrested in a police raid and deported, he was devastated.
Conditions in Zimbabwe remain worse than in South Africa. Mugabe's overthrow by the military had not improved life, and political repression was as harsh as ever. To add to this, South Africa and the African Union have done nothing to help those who wish to build democracy and respect for human rights.
Come, Tizi. Let's get moving. I don't want us to leave too late. There are many dangers ahead.
All right, Father, but I'm really scared. You hear so many stories about Amakumakuma and what they do to people like us.
Yes, we will have to watch out for those thugs. But have no fear, I have brought a kiri.
Don't be ridiculous, Father. A kiri? I've brought a gun. Oh my God!
That must be a South African border patrol. But don't panic. Most times they are just looking for bribes.
Yes, that's the root of the problem. Whether it's politicians, government officials, or business people, everyone is looking for bribes.
It is very bitter to see how the leadership on both sides of the Limpopo has abandoned their working people.
Then why are we going to South Africa? I know you think we will find work like you did in the past, but I'm not so sure this is the right way for me as a young person. Maybe I should stay at home and fight for change.
Fight those thieves? That might get you killed. I cannot let you take that chance.
But Father, that is cowardly. If we want change, we must stand up. Power is a hungry snake. But what choice do we have?
Rather than challenge the artificial and conflict-provoking borders set by the old colonial powers, the leaders of independent Africa have fought to maintain them. This has resulted in civil wars and economic imbalances that provoke widespread migration.
Father, once we are in Jozi, where are we going to stay?
We'll stay with your uncle Stenfast in Uville. He is looking forward to seeing you after all these years. But it's not going to be easy. I'm just praying that the job he's got lined up for you hasn't been taken.
Well, I'm not sitting around you doing nothing.
That's for sure. We are not going to the famous Republic for a holiday. No, but let no one say that we are taking food out of the mouths of their South African babies. Or hijacking loves from their women, or stealing their jobs. These borders only serve the interest of those at the top, who control the whole pie. Panzi borders, panzi! Free elections, free movement across Southern Africa!
Yo! Quiet, Dad! I see patrol ahead of us. I hope things turn out all right.
Yes, it will. Enough talk already. It's time we move. Follow me. We'll cross by those rocks. Pambiri nomzabarazo wabasebenzi pambiri!
And so, Edward and his daughter crossed the border under the eyes of South African soldiers. They walked to the main road and caught a taxi to Musina and from there to Jozi. What happened to them in this great African city is another story, but you can be sure they faced hardship, even as they made every effort to help their family. To find out, join us soon for the third and final episode in our drama.
To Tina!
There is no alternative!
Or not to Tina!
There is an alternative!
Road Java, a social revolution that shows a way forward.